All righty.
First off, I just want to say that I was nervous, and this morning whenever I was going over my notes, I had previously practiced, and my 20-minute little speech ended up being 30 minutes, and then 40 minutes, and then 50 minutes, and then I was like, I'm going to have to narrow this down a little bit. The more I practiced it. So I ended up going through, and as I prayed over it this morning, I decided that some of it was a little bit repetitive, so I went ahead and I crossed it out, and for the sake of everyone's festivities later on. But then Caroline came up, and she said exactly what I had crossed out. So apparently that needed to still get across, but I'm glad I didn't take up everyone's time for that. So I'm thankful for her doing that for me. 2 weeks ago, I approached Joe after service. He had just spoken on Jehovah Shalom and how we desire the peace and that God gives us. And it's just ingrained in all of us. And 2 days before that, I had had somebody very near and dear to me present a prayer request for healing. And I had sat down that day, and I was like, I'm going to get a really good encouraging word for her. We're going to present this to God, and we're going to, you know, we're going to move a mountain today. And you know how sometimes you do that, and you get all worked up, and you're thinking, yes, I'm going to get my answer for this today. Well, God completely sidestepped that prayer request, and instead I had pages filled with peace. The scriptures that Joe said, the stories that he referenced in his sermon, whenever I opened that pamphlet 2 days later, I was like, well, okay, so that was exactly what I needed to hear. I went up to him after service and shook his hand, and I wanted to say, you know, that is exactly what God gave me, and I really appreciate you and the word that you spoke today. And as he's shaking my hand, he looks down at me and he says, do you want to speak on Mother's Day? And I was like, that's not what I was trying to get across, but sure. But God has been nudging me lately that I have a story to tell, so here I am. I'm trying to be obedient as well as I can. But whenever I went home that day, that Sunday after he told me that, I instantly got to work. I knew in order for me to have that peace over this, I was going to have to be as prepared as possible. And I sat down and I got to work, and you have those moments where it's almost just like you're having an open conversation with God, and it's like, okay, I'm going to present this and you're going to respond, and I'm just sitting there writing out everything. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to speak on Mother's Day, so what, you know, what are we going to talk about? And I had this vision come to mind of a rose, and I thought, well, that makes sense because, you know, right now we can't walk into Walmart or a grocery store and not be completely overwhelmed by the floral displays they have, and I mean, they're everywhere. So I was like, well, you know, moms, we get roses for Mother's Day. That makes sense. And so I just happened to start doodling a picture of a rose. And as I finished drawing the head of it where the petals are, God said, that's it. Motherhood is like that. It's the head of the rose. It's something vibrant. It's something that you instinctively, whenever somebody hands you a rose, your instinct is to bring it into you and to take it in. You smell it, you let it completely like overwhelm your senses. I mean, short of taking a bite, you experience it in every which way. And so God's like, yeah, that's what it is. You know, whenever we're kids, even many of us women, it's just a desire. We know that one day we want to be a mom. We have a nurturing spirit built into us, and it's just something that many of us know from the start is that that's something that we want to do. And so I'm writing and I'm thinking, that's good. Yeah, that makes total sense. I can, you know, we can go with that. And then the next thing that God says is, well, and your kids are the thorns. And I just stopped and I was like, I'm supposed to say that. That's what you want me to tell these moms on Mother's Day in church as an encouragement to them. And he's like, your kids are the thorns. So I was like, okay. So As a mom to multiple, we have 6 kids. And if you only have 1 kid and this is true for you, then, you know, man, my prayers are with you. But you can, many of us moms of multiple kids, you can line up your kids. And if we're being honest, we can point to the one and you can be like, that one right there is my thorn. That's the one that would just, you know, drive you to the brink sometimes and you think, I can't with this one today. So for those of you who know my kids, and those of you who don't, my 5th and final boy, Isaiah, he is my thorn. I love him with all of my heart, but he is the one who sometimes you just look at and you think, what am I going to do with you? And he just, that's his thing. He is just that person. And the people who know my kids, they already know that Isaiah is the thorn. There's no question about it. Isaiah is the one who threw Becca's little girl, Anaya's, if you were at the picnic last week. Anaya decided to take her training wheels off of her bike to test to see if she was ready. Well, Isaiah picked up one and threw it in the pond at the park. That's Isaiah. Yeah. So God tells me, okay, so your kids are the thorns. I'm like, okay, you know, I can kind of get on board with that if we're gonna be really honest today. Another story was that we had stayed, maybe this previous year, at a hotel in Branson, one of those that has the water parks attached to it. So for us, that's easy. It's entertainment for our whole crew. You know, we just have to walk downstairs with them and keep them huddled together for a short time and then let them run and work off their energy. Well, thank God it wasn't me this time that was subject to Isaiah, but it was my husband. And he was coming off the elevator with him, and as they were walking into the water park area, they happened to pass a rather large man, and he was tall. He was a big guy. And Isaiah instantly just starts laughing, pointing at him, and says, "Dad, you see that big fat guy right there?" So he is not only the kid who will be the thorn, but he's going to point at you to make sure that you know that he is the one who's saying that. So after I got this, that your kids are the thorn, I decided I'm going to send a text to some women who I know will be honest with me and will give me an honest reply. And I said, I need your brutal honesty. Tell me a few things that your kids can do that can instantly kind of put a damper on the situation. They can ruin something in 2 seconds flat. And initially I got back at, I'm kind of confused. What do you mean? And I'm like, you know what I'm talking about. Let's be honest here. And so then the responses started flowing in. And I got things like a hot meal, a good night's sleep, a trip to the bathroom, a shower, an adult conversation, and I'm just laughing with each one as they come through because I'm like, that's right. I mean, everything. You know, your kids, and especially for a mom, your kids will completely bypass their dad most of the times and seek you out whenever you are somewhere, you know, doing something else, in the middle of something else, and they'll be like, Mom, open this juice box for me. And I'm just like, you walked past your dad who's sitting there, but they seek out Mom. They will come find us because they think they need us, that we can do that job so much better. Whenever I sent out this text, I got my sister's response. I sent it to her because she's got 3 kids. And I thought, this will be good. And she was one who was like, I'm confused, Rusty, what do you mean? And I said, well, I've been asked to speak at church, and I am going to give some examples to these people, you know, about things that, you know, that's kind of tough to deal with sometimes as a mom. And she said, okay. And she didn't respond. And I said, I've got a list already. I'm making a list. And she said, well, send me your list. And so I took a picture of it, and I texted it to her. And her response back to me was, Rusty, are you okay? She thought she was going to have to talk me back off the ledge. She thought she was going to have to be the responsible one. Another one of my friends, she said, well, do you want like the simple stuff or do you want like the real stuff? And I said, oh, I want it all. And she said, she listed a couple things, and then she said, finances. And I said, yeah. And I know that's not just a thing that moms know, because everybody in the room, if you have someone that you're responsible for, you know that the second that your bank account starts getting right where you're maybe a little bit more comfortable, then someone breaks an arm or needs braces, or your wife comes to you waving that pregnancy test and they're like, guess what? We're going to do this again. So there is, it seems like there's just always something, you know, having kids just, it completely keeps you on your toes. And I'm getting all this stuff, I'm collecting all my information, and I think, okay, we've got to turn this around to be positive somewhere. So I think, well, you know, God said your kids are the thorn, so let's go from there. And I'm like, well, what is a thorn? Well, I had my phone out because I was texting everybody, and I did what everybody does whenever they need an answer to a question, and I asked Google, what's a thorn? And the definition said that thorns are hard, rigid extensions of themselves. And I thought, if that is not ever the truest definition of what my kids are, they are hard, they are stubborn, they refuse to relent sometimes, and I mean, they're us. They are the very shape and essence of everything that we are. If there is one trait that you or your husband have that maybe you're not so proud of, it's going to be ingrained in that kid, and they have no filter, so they're going to go spraying it everywhere and showing everyone that that's what they are, that's what they can do. And so I got to thinking, and I was like, well, you know, that's as a thorn. If your kid is going to be your thorn, it's our job to kind of soften those edges. And that's something that we can only do, you know, through the grace and the wisdom of God. And so we have to somehow find a way to mold that where they're not so rough around the edges. After that, I went ahead and I asked Google again, my trusty friend. I said, well, what does a thorn do? We want to know what the purpose is. And the purpose of a thorn, it said, was to shade and insulate the plant that grows it. And it does this to provide an environment that promotes growth. And your kids grow you in ways that you never thought possible. They're has not been a single thing in my life that has grown me more than having children. And it starts from the second that you decide that you want to have a baby, you have to grow up. You have to make sure everything's in order. You have to get things lined out. You take care of yourself better than you ever have before. Having a child is the largest growth process I have ever gone through in my life, and I'm only in the middle of it now. And as I thought about that, you know, God says, these kids, they may be your thorns, but the process of them growing you is because I have things that I want to grow you in. And God has, through his Holy Spirit, he tells us that he has the certain things that he wants us to grow in and that we can grow in through his help, but he wants us to grow in love. We all know the song that we learned in Sunday school, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Some of those jump off the list a lot easier than the others. Whenever you refer back to your children, you think love, absolutely. You think joy. Well, whenever I brought them home from the hospital, man, I was just the happiest day of my life. Patience, yes. We need patience all the time. That's something we're always going back to. Self-control, yes. When those thorns act up in the middle of Walmart and you're thinking, just get them outside. Just go. Just get out of here. And then there's some things that aren't so obvious. Peace. Whenever you think, well, yeah, have my kids given me a lot of peace? Nah. When you brought that baby home from the hospital, you were hovering over their crib with your hand on their chest thinking, are they alive? I don't know if they're breathing right now. You look at them all the time. When they get to their teenage years, you're the one pacing back and forth, checking out the window. I don't see headlights yet. God, it's 15 minutes after their curfew. Where are they? Peace isn't something that instantly comes to mind that you think your kids benefit you, that's something that they cause to grow in you. One of my children has caused me to experience the greatest amount of peace and the kind of peace that only comes from God. And that's Chance Aaron. I practiced this like 6 times and I haven't cried, but of course he wanted to stay in here today, so I get to look at him while I tell this. For those of you who don't know, Chance Aaron is our 4th child. He was diagnosed with leukemia in November of 2016. And Caroline is our doctor. She has been their pediatrician since we had our first kid. We love her to death. Wouldn't ever consider anybody else. We brought him in thinking that it was just like a simple viral illness, something really just, you know, offhand, quick and easy to treat. She looked him over. She asked if there was anything else we were concerned with, and I pointed out a bruise that he had on the back of his shoulder blade. And I'm a nurse, and in the back of my mind, I was trying to refute the thought that this random, obscure bruise could be a sign of leukemia. I knew it, but I didn't want to acknowledge it. Thank God she was very diligent and decided to run tests on him that day. And the next day we were told to come in with not only Chance, but my husband, myself, and another family member. I've been the nurse on the other end of that phone call, and I know that that means that you're about to get some news that you need multiple ears to absorb, because it's going to be difficult for you to take it all in. And I asked the nurse on the phone before she hung up, I said, are you going to tell me my son has leukemia? And she said, I can't tell you that, Rusty. You just got to bring him in and get him in here right away. So we took him in, and he got up on the exam room table, and Caroline walks in and she hands me a stack of his lab results that had came back. And she said, it looks like leukemia. She said, I don't know what else it could be. And it was just like she knew that instantly my head is going to go to know what else, you know, could cause it. And she said that that's the only thing I know it could be. And my hand instinctively went over to him as he sat on the table. And on the inside, I felt like my whole being had just been crushed to the floor, and like I was just underneath this huge weight. And I thought, my baby's going to go through chemo. My baby's going to be, you know, in the fight for his whole life. And then God stepped in right there. And whenever I put my hand on him, he reminded me of something that was promised over him whenever he was still in my womb. Whenever I was pregnant with Chance, at the end of my pregnancy, they thought his head was too big. So they sent us in for more tests. Weaver family, they're, you know, beautiful, but they do have a little bit larger heads. But if God's going to put, you know, if he's going to choose a little bit larger canvas, then, you know, they make it look good. So it's fine. I'm not complaining. So we, in the back of our minds, were thinking, well, that's just the Weaver head, you know, it's fine. But whenever they send you to a specialist, you're still uneasy. So we had family praying for us. And Josh's grandmother was praying for us. And the day that we were there at our appointment, she called Josh's mom. She said, I was praying for the baby, and something happened. She said, God spoke to me. She said, I've never heard him speak as clearly as he did before. She said, it was so loud and so clear that it scared me. I looked up and I thought there was going to be someone standing in the room with me. She said, and God said to me, that baby's going to be fine. He's going to be a mighty man of God. And then he said, the name they're looking for is Aaron. And she had no idea that we hadn't picked his name yet. Several years before that, we had settled on Chance, but we didn't know what Bible name we wanted for him. All of our children have a good, solid Bible name. Joe, several years ago, whenever we were pregnant with the twins, preached a sermon on how that is a great way to start your kid off in life with a blessing and a strong foundation. And so we decided, okay, we're going to do that with all of our kids. We couldn't settle on one for Chance. But there was no greater confirmation than whenever God says, well, it's Aaron. So we're like, okay, well, that's settled. So he ended up being fine, specialist checked out and everything. And then here we are 7 years later in this room, and totally life-shattering news just hit us. And whenever I felt like I was just a total mess, God said, you remember that promise? He said, he's going to be a mighty man of God. And he said, is he a man? I said, no, he's a seven-year-old boy. He said, he's going to be fine. I've got this. And I sort of had the feeling, you know, whenever you try to line your kids up for a picture and you always got one that's like this, and you have to walk up to them and physically pick them up and straighten back their shoulders. I felt like the Holy Spirit swooped in and picked me up whenever I felt like I was on the floor. And he stood me up straight and he said, I've got this. That boy is not a man yet. He's going to be a mighty man of God. I did not say he was going to be a mighty boy for God. So I was able to look at Caroline, and, you know, I'm sure what felt like a lifetime in my mind was only a few seconds, but I was able to look at her and say, let's do this. The Bible talks about how Paul had a thorn in his flesh, and it never says what it is. And I've heard many people speak about it over the years, and they say that they think that that was on purpose so that it would fit whatever our thorn is at the time. But Paul asked God three times. He begged and he pleaded, and he said, please take this thorn away from me. But God's answer to him was, my grace is sufficient for you. That my power is going to be made perfect whenever you're weak. And so God sidestepped Paul's request. This mighty, incredible man. And God was like, you'll be all right. And I just thought, how many times have our kids brought us to the point that they've been the reason that we've hit our knees and we've said, God, I need your help today. It doesn't matter if they are a baby and you are exhausted because you haven't slept. It doesn't matter if they're a teenager and you're in the middle of the throes of drama, or if your kid is grown and you're just worried because you worry and you want to take care of them. But Paul's answer to him was, well, then I'm going to boast and gladly about it, because whenever I do that, then Christ's power is going to rest on me. Whenever I was documenting Chance's journey, we had a Facebook page for him, and it was those times whenever I would share the really hard days and I would be really honest and just say, you know, today stunk. We had a hard day and I hate seeing him like this, and it breaks my heart to see my baby go through this, but God is here and God is witnessing through this child. People can see the difference in him. And so we're not going to complain about it, because if this is something that people are going to grow and be touched by, then we'll go through it. And it was those times whenever we got the best response from people. People were drawn to that, because everyone can relate to a struggle whenever you feel completely powerless, but your only option then is to lean on God. I don't want anyone out there to think that their weakness is something that disqualifies them from talking about God, because your weakness is the thing that God knows you have. He has equipped you to deal with it. He's equipped you to be the mom of that child. He doesn't make mistakes. That child and, you know, those circumstances, they aren't meant for the mom down the street. They were meant for you. And there is no one better to take on that battle, that mountain, that child, than you. But a lot of times I think that we confuse our abilities with God's abilities. And there's no comparison there. We think, you know, whenever we are raising our child and we tell them to go do something and we want them to go and take care of it and show us that they can do it all by themselves. And if they don't, if they come back to us and they say, well, I can't do that, I need your help. A lot of times our response is to be like, you're perfectly capable of doing this by yourself. But God isn't like that. God, for him, a successful, you know, child rearing as he watches us grow is whenever your child comes back and says, I'm going to do it, but I need you here with me every step of the way. And God wants us to say that we know that his ways aren't our ways and that his thinking isn't our thinking. So we have to completely rely on him and say, God, I know that you've equipped me for this, but I still need your help. Whenever we shift that thinking, that's whenever we can start feeling like we're qualified to help that child of ours who is difficult, because children are different and every one of them needs to be loved differently and everyone needs to be taught differently. I have six of them, and even my identical twins have different things that they need in order to be nurtured. And God has equipped me with the ability to notice that and to teach them the way that they need to be taught. Whenever we can change that way that we think and we can say, God, you know, I'm going to resubmit my thoughts to you today and I need you to show me a new perspective for this. That's whenever we get in on the wisdom and we can start softening the edges of those thorns for those kids. That's whenever we can mold these children into what they need to be. God's purpose can envelop us just as much as that rose does whenever you bring it into you and you smell it and you let it completely just overwhelm you. God can do that to you too. And only at that time is it that we can see our little garden of thorns grow up and be exactly what they're meant to be. You guys are a gift, and I'm thankful for you guys today. I'm thankful for you guys letting me speak. And I pray that your guys' Mother's Day is wonderful and God has equipped you guys all to do everything you need to do. And I'm thankful for each and one of you guys for listening to me today.
So Aaron is cancer free.
Aaron is in March this year. He got his official cured diagnosis, so he is completely healed and well, and has his Facebook page has reached thousands and thousands of people, and many people have reached out to us during our journey and said that he ended up helping them recommit to the Lord. So,
amen. I'm going to ask Sean to come on back. Isn't God good? Amen. You know, the devil comes with his little stuff and God just turns it around for his glory. Let's just stand. I want to do a couple of things. First, let's just bow our heads. And if there's anybody in this house that you have walked away from the Lord, and throughout this morning you sense the Lord speaking to you, or perhaps even before that, and you want to recommit yourself to the Lord this morning, I'm going to ask you just to raise your hand right where you're standing. Anybody who needs to recommit themselves to the Lord this morning, or perhaps commit yourself to him for the first time. Amen. The other thing I want us to do is to pray one for another. And to pray in this way for the loved ones that concern us, whether it be your own child, or it might be a niece or a nephew, or someone that you have encountered that right now God has placed that person on your heart. I want us to pray one for another for that particular individual, whether it be a child, somebody you met on this Mother's Day, that as we'd cry out on the behalf of that individual, that God would reach them wherever they might find themselves right now. But let's us just in perhaps twos, let's us pray one for another and share that concern that they have.